Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Jesus calls us to follow him, and he still calls us to do it. In Matthew, all throughout the book of Matthew, we see where Jesus would come to people and say, follow me. And they had a split second to decide whether they're going to say yes or no. And I want to challenge, whenever God calls you to follow him, whenever Jesus comes and says, follow me, I want to challenge your answer to be yes. Don't sit and think about it. Don't sit and wonder if it's right or not. Just say yes. Whenever Jesus calls you, say yes to him. Some of you, you wonder, man, I'd love to be a part of the dream team. I want to know how to serve at Hope City, right? Because everyone can be a part. We invite everybody to be a part of serving. There's nothing better than serving and loving on people, right? So come to Growth Track. Growth Track will be coming up in the month of May where we're able to talk to you. We'll watch for more information. Anyone can join our team. All right, it's not just special people, it's everyone who says yes, all right? So we're continuing this series called Follow Me. Jesus still makes that call today. Jesus calls us to follow me. The first step is salvation. The first step is surrendering your life. When Jesus calls you, in fact, today I believe Jesus is going to call some of you in this room. Maybe you have never made that decision. And Jesus says, follow me. It's that first step, surrendering your life. Jesus asks us to follow him then in every area of our life. That's the next step, surrendering. Say, God, whatever you call me to do, and I want to tell you, on the other side of obedience is an incredible blessing. I cannot even get to tell you that obedience is what opens the door to God's blessing in our lives. So when God calls you to do something, say yes. And I've seen it over and over. The more I live on this planet, the more I realize that obedience is the key that opens the door to God's blessing in your life. When God calls you to do something, if you will say yes to him, it becomes very clear in Matthew chapter 9 what it looks like to follow Jesus. It's big, it's life-changing, it's a commitment. But I want to tell you, everywhere Jesus went, people got set free. People's lives were transformed. People were set free of the chains. They were brought out of the prison that the enemy had them in. And it was all because people said yes to Jesus. Last week, Pastor Sheree did an incredible job unpacking what it means to have blind faith. Many of us are okay if we have all the steps to God's plan. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you if I know how it's all going to play out. That's not faith, that's control. When you want to try to control God and tell him what you're going to do and what you're not going to do, that's not faith. Because what faith is you're not going to know anything but the next step. You're not going to know the outcome. How many of us, we sit and we try to play games with God? Well, God, I'll follow you if you tell me how all this is going to play out. Or even, I'll follow you, God, with a lot of faith as long as I get to control what I choose to do. Blind faith. You're not going to know the outcome, but what I want to tell you is, if you'll follow him step by step by step, you're going to see God do incredible things in your life. And it's done one step at a time. Well, if I could just see what God's doing. No, you can't. God's going to only show you what you need to see. So be obedient. You might only see what's around the next corner. And truthfully, if God showed you what was around all coming up, it might freak you out because God has a big plan. All you have to be worried about, blind faith. Blind faith, part of following Jesus means that you follow him even when you can't see or control the outcome. All the control freaks in here, make a fist and just let it go. I love what the Bible says. The Bible says you have your plans and then God has his. How many of you have lived that out in your life? Like, okay, here's my plan. Here's it. I've got all these plans. In fact, we lived that out when we were planting the church here. Because Paula, I'll let you in on a secret. If you've been to Growth Track, you know. But Paula's from White City. She's right from right here. And she said, I will never go back to White City, and I would never plant a church there. And look what we did. And we're so glad we did. We love you guys. Oh, my goodness. We couldn't imagine anything else. You have to have faith that God's going to be true to his word and fulfill his promises even when you can't see it, even when you don't know what's around the next corner. And I want to tell you, it's a journey. If you'll look at it like a journey, it's life-changing. Because all of a sudden, things happen that you could never expect. Following Jesus means that you're going to allow him to guide and direct your life even when you can't see the next step. Early in Matthew, remember how Jesus called his disciples? He'd walk up to a disciple and say, follow me. And that is a split second to make that decision. I want to tell you, delayed obedience is what? Disobedience. I want to challenge you, when God calls you to do something, say yes right away. Say yes right away. Don't sit there and try to figure it out. in our human mind, we go all the pros and cons. We just step out. Because that follow me, when Jesus says follow me, it's a split second decision to take Jesus up on his opportunity. And here's what I know about Jesus's opportunity. They're all going to end good. You're going to see God show up. You're going to see God do miracles. That's the place where people's lives are changed. It wasn't Jesus begging. It wasn't Jesus saying, well, here's all the plan. Now will you follow me? It was simply, follow me. Follow me. He does the same thing for us today. When Jesus calls us, the answer has to be yes. It has to be yes. And here's the thing I know. If you don't say yes, he'll pass you up and go to somebody else. I don't want to miss out on what Jesus is doing, do you? I don't want to miss out because I'm afraid or I'm fearful of what Jesus is doing. And Matthew, we also see Jesus doing many miracles. And what I love about Jesus is he never leaves you. He takes you on a journey. It's not about the destination as much as it's about the journey that he takes us on and the learning and the growing. And everywhere he went, we see that Jesus set people free. We see that Jesus brought healing. We see that he called Matthew to follow him. He healed a paralyzed man. He healed Jairus' daughter. Everywhere Jesus went, the only time he couldn't do miracles is when he went to his own hometown and the people had doubt. What I love about Jesus, when you follow his plan, that's where you're going to see miracles. It's where you're going to see the incredible things that he does. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed people. He called people to follow him. He set people free. Here's what I know about the people that were struggling with being paralyzed and couldn't see. They were suffering. And what I love that Jesus came to set people free from their suffering. He came to set people free from the prison that the enemy had him in or had them in. But what I know about the enemy is he loves to keep people in those prisons. He loves to keep people stuck right where they're at. He loves to pull people back after they experience freedom. But that's not what Jesus did. Jesus came to set people free. The people had never seen anything like Jesus. This time was a very compressed time where Jesus came on the scene and he did miracles. Showed up at Jairus' house. The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, like, boom, boom, boom. His miracle, his ministry, like, started on fire. And people were amazed. The Bible says that they were amazed. But there was another group of people who were the religious folks of the day that literally did everything they could to stop Jesus. They would look at things and they would speak. And they would say, man, this guy is part of the enemy. Or this guy, look what he's doing. The religious folks. The enemy used these voices to discourage people and to discount Jesus' ability to do miracles and set people free. There are still those voices today that want to discount what Jesus is doing in your life. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice are you letting speak into your life? There are people in your life that truly you need to shut them down. And you need to say, you are no longer allowed to speak into my life. They could not see, these people could not see past their own doubt to see who Jesus was. And that he was supernaturally sent to bring freedom. Their voices were loud. Their voices were used to spread doubt and discord. And these were religious folks of the day. They should have known better. Their voices were used to keep people from following Jesus. The saddest part is their voices were used to try to pull people back into their pain and into their sorrow and into their prison. They would have been happy to walk by those paralyzed people and leave them just the way they were. There are people in your life who would love to see you stay just the way you were. They're speaking death over your life right now. The saddest part of all of this is the fact that they were the religious people of the day. They should know better. As we read Matthew 9, 32 through 34, that's where we're going to land today. We see this play out once again. Let's read about it. When they left, a demon-possessed man who couldn't speak was brought to Jesus. Sometimes we read over a sentence like that so quick. This man was tormented. This man had his voice taken from him. If you don't believe in demons, I want to tell you they're real. Here's the great news. Christians, you cannot be demon-possessed. You're either possessed by Jesus or the enemy. So you don't need to worry about that. You can be oppressed and it looks similar. We can talk about that later on. But this man was demon-possessed. In America, we don't see this stuff happen. And we're like, oh, is that real? I promise you, you step out and go overseas, you'll see it all around. And I think sometimes in America, we medicate it rather than letting people get free. So Jesus, you guys are quiet. I'll take a drink for a minute. So what did Jesus do? He cast out the demon, and then the man began to speak. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. But the Pharisees said, he can cast out demons because he's empowered by the prince of demons. These religious folks took what Jesus did and completely twisted it. They literally said that he was empowered by Satan to do this miracle. There are people in your life who will speak death over your situation. There are people that are just like this. Jesus and disciples met a man who was demon-possessed and he couldn't speak. It's amazing that the enemy would target this man's voice and cause him not to speak. Because there's power in our words. There's power in our words. The enemy knows that there's power. I can tell you this, some of you, your voices, the enemy has shut down. And you need to step back up and use your voice that God's given you to speak truth and life and do what God's called you to do. Don't let the enemy shut your voice down anymore. This man, his voice was shut down. And remember what the Bible says about the power of our words. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. I'm convinced that this is one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible today. The power of life and death is in your what? Tongue. Some of you are literally speaking death over your situation right now when you open your checkbook and you're, oh man, I'm never going to have enough money. What are you speaking over your situation? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And some people wonder, okay, well, is it like this prosperity gospel or what are you talking about here? What does speaking life over a situation look like? It means taking every bit of God's promises that we read in scripture and speaking it over your situation. It means speaking the truth over people in your life. It means being an encourager. It means bringing life to the people around you. Stop looking. Some of you are, I'm just negative by nature. Stop being negative by nature. I'm just a half glass full type of person. Stop it. God's called you to be positive. God's called you to bring life over these situations. And you know what? It's a trap to fall into that's so easy. Right? It's a trap. We don't think our words matter. Don't ever let the enemy steal your voice, and don't ever let the enemy use your words to discourage or bring death to another person. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Stop trying to make yourself look better by pulling somebody else down. Don't, you heard me. We're going to move right along. You see two groups of people respond to what Jesus did in this scripture with their voices. One group was totally amazed to what Jesus did. They were amazed at the miracles that Jesus was doing. They had never seen anything like this. You know what? Some of us, we get freaked out when God does something we've never seen before. And we start talking bad about it. How about we go, God, whatever you want to do. I know you're still in the business of doing new things, God. You're not going to operate the same way you've always done. So I'm not going to get freaked out when you choose to work differently than what I expect. I'm not going to sit here and talk down about somebody who finds freedom. Well, that person, I know their past. They say they're free, but I... No, stop it. How about we celebrate freedom? How about we go, thank you, God, that you set that person free, and we're going to stand with them, and we're going to believe God to do continual miracles in their life. The crowds were amazed. Nothing like this has ever happened in Israel, they exclaimed. And when I see crowds, I see thousands of people amazed. Okay? I see people that were amazed at what Jesus was doing. And I feel like expectation and amazement moves the hand of God. When we stand in amazement of what God's doing, that moves God's hand in our life. When we stand with expectation, well, God, you've done it this way my whole life. I guess you're going to do it that way more. Well, then that's what you're going to get. God, I'm amazed at how you're working. And so many times, we want all the big stuff to happen, but God works one small miracle at a time. So stop and thank him for what he's already done. Stop telling him what you don't have. He's working on it. And start worshiping for him for what he's already done. You need people in your life today who are going to be amazed. You need people in your life who are going to cheer you on. You need people who are going to stand up and say, listen, I am with you. I believe in what God's doing, and I'm going to celebrate. And if those are not the people in your circle, it is time to get a new circle. It is time to drop those friends. Take your phone out and start deleting them out of your phone right now. And you know who I'm talking about. The people you pick up the phone and they're always negative. They're always talking bad to you. They're always trying to discount what Jesus is doing in your life. Take that phone out now. And listen, if you struggle with addiction, those addict friends are not your friends. They want to pull you back. They want to come along like these Pharisees. And I see these Pharisees, and this is just me, so it could be totally wrong. I'm not saying this is what the Bible says. But like five or six people sitting in a circle. Can you believe that? He's empowered by the prince of darkness. These small group of people who literally spoke death, and it could have been more, I don't know. But I just see, like I see crowds, thousands, and then the Pharisees, this small group of people, and they came along with voices trying to discredit what Jesus was doing. Matthew 9:34, this is what they did. But the Pharisees said, he cast out demons because he's empowered by the prince of demons. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I hope you don't either. I hope you can look at God with amazement and not as a critic. Some of us are so critical, and we look at things so critical, it's just like the Pharisees. And I want you to know, whenever Jesus did anything, these voices were always there to try to discourage, diminish, and dissuade people from embracing the miracles of Jesus, from embracing what Jesus wanted to do. The enemy used those people to keep their voices. The enemy used those voices to keep Jesus and keep people from following him. There are people today who have voices in your life. Their goal is to tear you away from Jesus. Shut them down. Shut them down. Some of you, your life has been transformed, and you've gone to people and you said, look at what Jesus has done. And what you get is a Pharisee. Well, how could God ever do that in your life? Shut them down. Shut them down. Put them, not that we're not going to love them, but they don't have a voice in your life anymore. Stop it. And some of us, we crave their approval so much, we need to start craving only his approval, not theirs. There's people in your life, you're never going to get their approval because they're a Pharisee and they need to go. Start looking at his approval. Start saying, Jesus, what do you think about this situation? Some of you, you've experienced this. If your life has been transformed and you recently begin following Jesus, I promise you, there are people in your life that, oh, that's not real. They try to pull you back. They try to take you back into that pit. They try to get you still. I mean, that's exactly what they wanted for that man. They would have been so happy to leave that man paralyzed so that they could look better in front of everybody. You need people in your life who are not going to leave you broken and lost and in pieces, but are going to pull you along and say, let's go. We're going to take you to Jesus and you're going to get healed. Stop listening to those voices. I want you to know the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from fully following Jesus. The enemy will keep you, do everything he can to keep you from experiencing all that he has for you. And he uses people around you and their voices that are close to you to discourage you from following Jesus and experiencing freedom. If you experience a miracle in your life, better be ready for the naysayers. Be ready for the ones, how do you know it was God? It might have been the doctors. Okay, really? They're practicing medicine, okay? I'm just telling you right now. Don't ever discount what Jesus is doing in your life, especially when he does a miracle. There will be people that try to explain it out in a human way. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. And listen, there are going to be voices in your life. No matter how long you serve the Lord, there are going to be voices that try to pull you back. So don't ever, ever, ever let your guard down. Who is speaking into your life? There are going to be Christians that come into your life that are just like the Pharisees, that try to speak death over your situation. I want to show you three keys to really knowing who and the voices that you're listening to. Number one, evaluate who you're allowing to speak into your life. Stop and think about it right now. Who's speaking in your life? I want to encourage you to take a hard look at who's surrounding you and who you allow to speak into your life. How you know is what happens when God does something good and you call him, and what kind of response do you get? Are your current friends going to be like the Pharisees or the people that are amazed? Consider this. Like I said, the Pharisees would have been happy to leave every single person that we read about being healed. The woman with the issue of blood, they would have been happy for her to continue to suffer. They'd have been happy for those blind men to stay blind because it meant that they would have to recognize that Jesus was a miracle worker and he was who he says he is. It's the same thing that the voices are doing in our lives today. Don't hang around people that want you to go backwards. Hang around people that are going to push you forward. Hang around people that are going to be encouraging. Some of you have people in your circle right now that would rather have you go backwards than celebrate what God's done. They want you to get back in the pit with them. They want to pull you back to where they're at. They're not concerned about your freedom. Misery loves company. Just because your friends can't understand what Jesus is doing in your life doesn't give them bondage. It doesn't give them a license to keep you in bondage. Don't give people access who are going to use their voice to discredit what Jesus is doing in your life. I can promise you this. When Jesus calls you to follow him, it will probably mean changing your circle of friends. Because you need people who are going to be life-speaking. People that are going to give you encouragement. You need a circle that's going to come along and say, listen, I am not letting you go back. I'm pulling you forward. That's the kind of circle you need. And if you've got friends that want to pull you backward, time to get a new circle. You need a circle of friends that are going to speak life over you and the situations you're facing. Listen, I don't need to call up a friend and be told the 10 reasons why I should be worried. I don't need to call a friend who's going to be discouraging. I need some friends that are going to lift me up. I need some friends that I can call and they're going to be so encouraging. I've got people in my life like that. I've got a guy that lives in Nashville I can call up and he is so encouraging. His gift is encouragement. I love that. That is a spiritual gift. Key number two, learn to know Jesus' voice in your own life. Most Christians I speak to today, if I was to say, do you listen to God's voice? Does God speak to you? The majority of this room may say no. We've lost the ability to listen to God's voice. And I want you to make this in this season because his voice is the one you need to hear the most. You need to know what God's voice sounds like in your life. It is vital that every believer know God's voice and know how God speaks to them. John 10, 27 through 28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. You need to know God's voice in your life because he's the one that you need to get guidance from. He's the one that you need to submit your life to and say, Jesus, what do you think of how I'm living my life? Do you have like those kind of conversations? Jesus, here's my plans. I'm submitting them to you. You make it work. That's the kind of conversations that you need to have. Some of you, you've never had a conversation like that, and you wonder why your life is kind of going off the path. It's time to pull it back in and say, Jesus, what do you think about this? Take time to listen for God's voice in our own life. In our society, and I know we hear this all the time, but we're too busy. There's times where you need to unplug, and you need to sit in a room with Jesus where it's quiet and listen for his voice. He is not going to yell at you. You do not want God yelling at you. Look at what happens in the Bible when God yells at people. Most of the time, he's going to come in a very still, small voice. And we miss it because we're so busy. Some of us, we don't like silence. It freaks us out. But I want to tell you, that could be some of the best things that you do, is take a moment and just listen to God's voice. Listen to Jesus speak to you. I can assure you that God is still speaking to his people. Some of you in this room, you might go, well, how could God ever speak to me? He knows my past. And I want you to know, if you've got a past, he's probably speaking more to you than anyone else because he wants you to know what he thinks of you. He wants to give you a new identity because your identity is not who you think it used to be. If you'll listen and let him speak to you, and I say this all the time too. He's never going to yell at you and go, hey, dummy, like you missed this. That might be your dad speaking to you, but that's not him because he speaks in a soft voice, the best father you could ever have if you'll listen to him. How does God speak? First of all, he speaks through the Bible. Get the cover dusted off and open that thing up, right? If you tell me I don't hear God's voice, my first question to you is, are you in the Word? And the answer is probably no. We're not in the Word enough. Get into the Bible. dig in and start reading it. Get the Bible app. We have no excuse. Get the app. Get the Bible. Get in there and start. I promise you, if you give it 10 minutes a day, it will change your life. And Jesus will start to speak to you. All of a sudden, things are going to pop out of that scripture that you need right at this very moment. The Bible says that the God's word is alive and active. It can cut through all the crap in your life. I'm just telling you right now. It cuts through the marrow is what the Bible says. Today, I put that into our modern language of all the crap, all the noise, all the stuff that we hold on to. Yes, I did say crap in church because that's what some of it is. I'm not going to go one step further on that. All right. Get into the Bible. Let God speak to you. Prayer is another way he communicates. That means talking to God. That means taking your time. And some of us, we act like God is the old dial-up. Okay, I'm going to get with God, and I'm going to dial up. It's like the old dial-up, remember that AOL discs? And we have to dial up to get him. I want to challenge you that God is like high-speed internet. He's always available. So our prayer time can literally be driving down the road. It can literally be as we're at work. I don't care where you're at. Get connected with him and stop doing all the talking. We love to talk, and then we're done. How about talk and then listen? Or how about listen and then talk? Some of us, we're really bad listeners. We're always thinking about the next argument while people are talking to us. Listen to what God is saying. God can audibly speak to you. Some of you, though, you're waiting for God to audibly speak, and he's saying, listen, I'm going to speak to you through the Bible. I'm going to speak to you through your prayer. And he may speak to you audibly. Another thing, and this is how God talks to me, is God can drop an idea and a thought in my head and heart, and right away I know I have to be obedient. I know when those times hit. Remember, none of your thoughts are your own. Okay? So the good thoughts that line up with God's word come from him. The thoughts that line up with the enemy, you know where those come from. Doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, sexual sin. I mean, you know those thoughts. And the Bible says to take every thought captive. But what I love is this scripture in Philippians. It's Philippians, I believe it's 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final word. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about those things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then, you could do better than that. Say then, the God of peace will be with you. So when we think about the right things, that's what brings the God of peace into our situation, right? So let God speak to you. Another way God speaks is the people in your circle. That's why it's so important to have a circle that God's speaking through. That's why it's important to be a part of a life group where you've got your people. If I'm asking you to give up your circle of friends now that are speaking the negative, I want to challenge you to exchange it with a circle of friends in a life group. People here that are going to encourage you to keep moving forward. We need encouragement. In this season, I want to challenge you. Learn to listen for God's voice and then be obedient to what Jesus speaks to you. That's this season. So I'm going to ask you in about 6 weeks, how's that going for you? Are you making that a priority? Because I don't think we can live apart from knowing God's voice. It's like the water and air we breathe. We need his direction, guidance in our life. Learn to listen to God's voice. Key number three, use your voice to encourage others. What are you doing to encourage others? Don't forget, it was the religious folks of the day that used their voice to discount what Jesus was doing and even accuse Jesus of being empowered by the prince of demons. When somebody calls you and they go, man, look at what God's doing in my life, use your words to encourage them. The best thing that could be said about all of us is that we're encouragers, that we encourage people, that we stand with people. We don't tear down. We don't use our words to bring death. Let's use our voice to lift people up all around us. Let's be the people who are amazed at what Jesus does, even when it seems small. Let's be the people that will point that out in somebody else's life. Look at what God's done. Look at what he's doing. Be encouraged. Look at where God's taking you. You may not be all the way there yet, but you're on the journey. Let's be encouragers. Let's never want to take people back because we feel bad about who we are. What are your words doing right now? Take a moment to evaluate your words. Are you an encourager? Are you a Pharisee? Are you a part of the crowd that was amazed? Imagine how Jesus completely transformed people all throughout the New Testament by just speaking a word. What can your words do? Be an encourager. I want to tell you, when you encourage, you're going to be encouraged. When you encourage another person, you're going to be encouraged. Sometimes we think, man, I'm feeling bad about my situation, so I want everybody else to feel bad about it too. But I promise you, if you'll turn that around and you'll be an encourager even when things are difficult in your life, all of a sudden you're going to start to be encouraged yourself. You're going to be encouraged. So be an encourager. Use your words to encourage. The Bible says that we're going to be held accountable for every word that comes out of our mouth. Look at this scripture, Matthew 12:36. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word that you speak. Here's the word that hits me right there, the word every. Not for half, not for three-fourths, but every word. What kind of words are coming out of your mouth? And it's a battle. It's a battle. It really is a battle. Why is it a battle, though? Because words bring life. So the enemy would love to battle us. He'd love to use your words to bring death to other people. And so we've got to turn that around and stick it to him in the face and start being positive. I don't want to be used like the Pharisees were by my words. I want to be part of that crowd that was amazed. And I want to tell you, when you're amazed and you're an encourager, God's going to do incredible things in you and through you. You're going to see people set free. You're going to see freedom in your life. You'll never follow God when you listen to the naysayers in your life, so get rid of them. Whose voice are you listening to? I'm glad. We're going to put this into practice, though, right? Like, this is one of those sermons that you have to go out and put into practice. The minute you feel talking, the minute you feel like you want to talk negative, shut the phone call down and start over. The minute you want to think that you're going to speak death over a situation, stop and say, Lord, give me the right words to say. Whose voice are you listening to?
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.